Let's pray. Father in heaven, prepare our hearts now to receive what you want us to receive, to see what we need to see, to hear what we need to hear, and to put into practice what we need to be doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus was a very skillful storyteller. One of his most masterful parables was this of the prodigal son. When he told his story, those in his audience were tax collectors and sinners who had been drawn to Jesus. There was the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees who criticized him for his association with sinners. These groups needed a lesson on the grace and mercy of God. And it's exactly what this parable, the prodigal son, delivers. To highlight the story, the parable is about a son who asked his father for his share of the estate. He left home. He wasted his inheritance. Perhaps probably the most amazing character in this story is the forgiving father. Jesus was teaching that no one has sinned to such a degree that it's impossible to turn back to God in repentance and receive forgiveness. That is always available. We're going to look now at the steps. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 15, you can follow with me and find the steps of the prodigal son away from his father. If you're taking notes, they're all D's, like delight. The first D we look at is dissatisfaction. This young man had everything and anything he needed at home. He didn't want for nothing. Yet, he yearned for more. Did you ever hear that? One of the richest men was interviewed. What he needed, he said he needed a little more. He just needed to have a little more. This young man thought he just needed a little more. What would it take to make you happy? A little more? Think about that. Do you know that contentment is great gain? Are you content with the things you have? Do you sometimes look at your neighbors or others and think you wished you could have what they have? There's a word in the scripture that describes that. It starts with a C. Covetousness. Do not covet thy neighbor's thing. Well, why can't I have that? That's really none of your business, is it? If God would see fit, he'd see fit that you have it. I've often asked the Lord for some things that I would like to have and didn't receive them. And I thought, now, Lord, why did you pass me up on this? I didn't think it was a stupid request. But you know, he answered it in another way. How was that? Well, he just provided somebody that had what I needed and he did it for me and I didn't have to go out and buy it. Now that is a deal. You see how nice he works? If you listen to him, he'll do it the best way. He'll let somebody else make the purchase and he'll fix it for you and you don't need to have the payment. Hello, huh? And that worked out pretty good. Well, then why don't we just learn to listen to him more often? Because he has your best in mind. He knows what's best for you. The next one is desire. He wanted to enjoy things he'd never experienced. The satisfaction he thought he could indulge in his cravings, and he thought if he'd do that, he'd be happier. Boy, how many people do we know of that indulged in all their cravings, and they're not with us anymore? I can think of a few that had whatever money could buy. They're not with us. wasn't a very good path for them. They self-destructed. Many times they do that. They just need a little bit more, trying to find out some satisfaction for their life. People involve themselves in all kinds of things. They think that this is going to answer that longing they have, that satisfaction they're craving for. And then there's deception. He was deceived. He believed he was missing something in life, and it could only be found outside his father's house. And so he made a decision. He chose to leave home. The restrictions he had in home, I'm sure, were very few. But he left to enjoy the life that he had imagined awaited for him. So, after having made a decision, there was a departure. He took his fortune and he left his family to go to a faraway country. With plenty of money at his disposal, he had now delight. He enjoyed himself with all the new worldly pleasures. He tasted sin and believed that these new experiences were the fulfillment of all his dreams. But he met with disillusionment. Disillusioned. That's what the devil does with you. He makes you think it's really good, but it's not. The wine that sparkles in the cup soon brings destruction. Disillusionment. You see, sin only satisfies for a season, for a short time. What he thought would give him pleasure began to leave him empty. Although sin may be enjoyable at first, the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Death in a lot of things. You know, when we think of that, we think of a physical death, but there was a death of other things that was involved. You see, when you have a sinful lifestyle, there's a death of happiness. There's a death of peace. And a death of security. There's a death of all those. And then, the last one, despair. Despair. After the money was all spent, a famine came. The son ended up in a hog pen feeding the pigs while he himself remained hungry. He'd begun a life at home with everything he needed. Now he didn't even have enough to eat. His expectations of a great life had ended. He'd lost everything. And with God's grace, he came to his senses. And in repentance and humility, he headed home to his father. Now I want to give you the steps of the father to the son. And these are W's. The first one was a wounded heart. The father was hurt by his son's desire to have his inheritance early and leave the home that he had given him. The father wondered about him continually. Let me ask you, do you have a wayward son or daughter? You have a wayward brother or sister? Maybe wayward parents that separated in your life. How many parents whose child is far from home was concerned for them? Is there any here, and you don't have to raise your hand, but I'm asking you a question. Do you have wayward children? That's why I chose to have the anointing service at the end. Because I want you to come at the end of the service. If you have any wayward in your family, maybe it could be a husband or a wife that's wayward. And I want you to come at the end of the service and we're going to pray with you. So he wondered. Like any parent, he wondered whether the child was making good choices or what, or he was in need. Do you think about that a lot when you have children that aren't living near you and they're living maybe in another state? Do you ever wonder about them? I'll bet you have. I know you did. Are they making good choices? Are they in need? While you're eating and having your meals every day, do they have a meal? Are they eating? Do they have what they need? Another W, waited. I'm not good with waiting. Waiting patiently. Oh, brother. As parents today, many are waiting for their renegade sons or daughters to return. This father longed to see his son. So we have another W. He watched for him. You ever expecting somebody important to come to your home? And you get checking, you look at the driveway to see if they're here yet. Some of you are still watching the driveway. Those in nursing homes, watch the doorways to see if one of their loved ones will come and see them today. They watch the doorways. Others watch the driveways. Did you know that the Reverend Billy Graham watched his driveway? I didn't know that until I heard the eulogy. He had a wayward son. His name was Franklin. Billy Graham, after having preached to millions, watched the driveway for his son Franklin to return. Who are you watching for in the driveway? His son was never far from his thoughts. He watched the road to see if he was returning. I'm sure he probably did that constantly. He'd be outside doing something, tending the field. In this case, he would be watching the road. His thoughts were on the road. Will my son return today? Another W. He wanted his son to return soon. Whatever had happened in his son's life would never cause this father to ever reject him. There's nothing that you will ever do that your father will reject you. That's true in real life. Could your children ever do anything that you as a father would reject them? Absolutely not. You would always forgive them. And you'd always want them back. And that's how your Heavenly Father is. He's the same way. Doesn't matter what you do. He loves you anyway. Unconditionally is the word. Unconditionally. He loves you. Irregardless of what you've done or what you're doing. And then the last W, welcomed him home. The day came when the father saw his son on the road while he was still a long way off. He felt the compassion and he ran to meet him. He didn't just stand and wait. He ran. He was so glad to see him. And instead of greeting him with reproofs and things he did wrong, he never mentioned a word about them, but repeatedly embraced and kissed his son despite his filthy condition. Probably still smelled like the pigs he was feeding. Didn't matter. Didn't matter. He embraced him and kissed him. This young man barely managed to get out his confession of his sin and unworthiness to be called his son before the father called the servants. Bring out the best robe. Bring a ring. Put it on his hand and sandals to clothe him. Put on his feet. And then he told his servants to kill the fatted calf and prepare a feast to celebrate his son's return. They had a celebration. In this particular story, Jesus was using an earthly father to show the readiness of the heavenly father to forgive those who would come to him in repentance, no matter how far they strayed from him. He was showing the scribes and the Pharisees God's attitude toward repentant sinners. He was conveying to the tax collectors and sinners that his father was willing to forgive and welcome them if they would confess and return to him, because he's not willing that any should perish. In this story, we can each see ourselves in one of the characters of this story. The rebellious child who's far away from God, maybe you can be identifying with that. Or maybe the forgiving parent who welcomed him home. Or how about the bitter sibling who didn't think the prodigal deserved to be welcomed? I can tell you the first time I read this story, I sort of chummed along with the sibling that was bitter. And I want you to, if you're in the 15th chapter, I want you to go and look with me. I want to talk about this sibling that was left at home. I'm almost finished. Verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. What was going on? He said to them that thy brother is come. Your father hath killed the fatted calf because he received him safe and sound. And this oldest boy, verse 28 says he was what? He was angry. Probably thinking, I never took your money and inheritance and spent it on riotous living like my brother did. Never threw a party for me. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out to talk to him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might marry with my friends. What, does that sound familiar? But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. You can see the bitterness and anger in his son's voice. And he said unto him, the father answering, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You understanding this? Did you catch this? You see, with years, material things usually become more valuable, more cash is accumulated. So you see, this oldest son's estate was totally growing and growing and growing. So this son had more than just enough. Eventually, he'd have even more than his youngest son got rid of. Let me show you another example that the scripture shows and talks about. Talks about people getting saved as of fire. That means you live for the devil all your life. And there's a lot of people who do that. They live for the devil all their life. On their deathbed, they get a chance to receive Christ and be saved. That person is saved as by fire. That means you just made it. You just made heaven your home, but don't make a mistake. Making heaven your home is quite an accomplishment. But here's where it's different. You see, this one has no rewards. He lived for the devil all his life, and we serve a just Lord. Our God is just. He's fair. And he gave him just what he sent up. Nothing. While he lived in this earth, he lived riotous and evil, and he sent nothing ahead. So he's going to receive exactly what he sent ahead. Nothing. There's the difference. That's the part you don't see in this parable about the bitter and angry son. You see, he still has his inheritance. And not only did he have his earthly inheritance, but when the bitter son died, he had all his heavenly inheritance. All the rewards that he told his father he didn't do these bad things, and so now it's time for him to receive his rewards. But the prodigal son just made heaven. But we need to rejoice, because the next verse says, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. That's important. Because the Bible says when you get saved, the angels of heaven rejoice. They rejoice. Running away from the Lord and living in sin is never a way to find happiness. Like the prodigal, we'll eventually find ourselves disillusioned and despairing. But the Heavenly Father forgives and welcomes us home when we forsake our sin and return. He'll give us a new beginning, and there'll be great celebration in heaven. Oh, it's so wonderful to be able to embrace God's grace and love. Here's what God offers in repentance. Here's what God gives. He offers forgiveness. On Christ's death and our faith in his death, we can receive forgiveness. If we'll confess our sins, God will be faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. God offers acceptance. The Lord accepts us. He don't accept us on the basis of our good works, but because of our Lord's death on the cross, which paid our sin debt in full. And everyone who believes in him will become a child of God. Our God offers restoration. Restoration. We're given eternal life, and he restores our dignity and our attitudes and a new way of thinking. As the scripture says, we're made a new creature. All things have become new. And then there's rejoicing. Not only do we rejoice, but we do so with our family and our friends who've been waiting for us to come home. The greatest celebration of all is in heaven whenever a sinner repents. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I'm going to open the altar at this time. It's going to be open for those of you who are still looking in the driveway. for someone that's wayward. A child, whoever it is, if you have somebody in your life that is wayward, that's not serving the Lord today, but they know they should be serving the Lord, they've just chosen not to at this time. And so I'm going to invite you to come to the altar. And those of you that have prepared a song for the anointing service can come as well. The altar is open. Why don't you come? Represent this one that's wayward. It's nothing to be ashamed of. You should never be ashamed of somebody in your life that needs Jesus. They need to have Jesus in their life. Amen. Hallelujah.